Well, a huge thank you to Alan Shatti for the privilege of sharing God's word. I really am very thankful and very honored. If there's a title to the teaching, I'd call it Jesus Turns Hearts. And that's what we're going to see. Turn to Acts chapter 1, please. Acts chapter 1 and in verse 4. And being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, you've heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. So this was just before the ascension, and Jesus spoke such a powerful truth. And verse 6 says, when they, the disciples, therefore, were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? So they were looking in another direction. Jesus has just spoken about being baptized with Holy Spirit that's so mighty, so powerful, and their heads were on the kingdom of Israel. And Jesus just turns them round. And in verse 7, he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So he just basically said, I don't want to talk about this. I want to talk about Holy Spirit. And like a lot of us at different times in our life, we're thinking along a certain way, and perhaps we're praying and God speaks to us, or we're in a fellowship, somebody says something, and it brings us back to what we should be focused on. And for Jesus Christ, it was Holy Spirit power. At this time for them, it was Israel, the kingdom of Israel being redeemed. And we see this again in Luke 24, if you turn over to Luke chapter 24. And in verse 20, this is a great section. It's usually called the Road to Emmaus. And Jesus in his resurrected form was walking along the road to Emmaus. He joined two believers who were talking about the crucifixion. And in verse 20, this is what they were saying to Jesus, how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him, Jesus, to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we thought, we trusted, it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. So again, this was part of their way of going forward, their agenda, and they thought Jesus should fit in their plans, their agenda. And beside all this, today's the third day since these things were done. So a lot happens. You look at verse 26, Jesus said, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Verse 27, Jesus began at Moses and all the prophets. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And if you work out the length of the road to Emmaus, it was about 8 miles. And he opened up the scriptures in such an awesome way. In verse 31, their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he ceased to be seen of them. Verse 32, and these two men said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Isn't that beautiful? So in Acts 1, 4 to 6, they're talking about redeeming Israel. He says, stop talking about that. You're going to receive power. It's going to really change your life. The road to Emmaus, they were confused. They didn't understand. He opened up the scriptures. their eyes were opened and their heart burned within them. Who's ever had their heart burn within them, alive with Holy Spirit, alive with seeing the Lord Jesus? This is where we want to be, and this is where we want to stay, and we can with Holy Spirit. So we see that Jesus, in his body form as a human, he turns hearts. He meets people, they are where they are, and he turns them to him. I want to look at a remarkable incident of this in John 4. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, chapter 4. And we'll look at a portion of this. It's commonly referred to as the woman at the well. And Jesus will pick it up from chapter 4, verse 9. This is a dialogue. This is a conversation that Jesus has with a woman at Samaria. So we're going to see here that she was a very, very different person to Jesus. And like us, we meet people who are very different to us every day. And we mustn't stop that. We mustn't let that stop us from showing them the beauty of Jesus in our hearts. We just don't know how that's going to affect them. And it's easy to make a quick decision about somebody by how they look, how they act, how they behave. And we see this woman here that Jesus is going to talk to. Racially, they were just opposites. She was a Samaritan, he was a Jew. The Jews hated the Samaritans. The Samaritans hated the Jews. And there's a great history you can explore if you want about that. If Jews were traveling and had to go a distance, they would go hours out of their way, maybe days, to avoid Samaria. They would not go as the crow flies through Samaria. They did not want that. Racially, this woman was a Samaritan. Jesus was a Jew. Socially, she was a woman. He was a man. Still today, in 2022, where Christ is believed and lived, you will get open meetings where men and women mingle. Otherwise, the women will be one side, the men will be the other. And that's in 2022. Back in the lands and times of the Bible, oh my goodness, the place that women had in society, they were not equal. Christ makes us equal. We read that in Galatians. There's neither Jew, Gentile, Greek nor Jew, male nor female. We're all one in Christ. Not then. So that's racially, socially, and morally. In the verses coming up to this, we see it was the sixth hour of the day. That means it was noon, and he meets her at a well. The women would come at the start of the day when it was cool. They would come in a group that was safe, and they'd collect water. Then they would go on their way. She came on her own because she was an outcast. She was an adulteress. She committed adultery, and she was shunned by her people. So she came in the heat of the day by herself. So we see racially, socially, morally, they are poles apart. But we'll see how Jesus turns hearts. Absolutely beautiful. So picking up from verse 9, then said the woman of Samaria to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask drink of me, who am a woman of Samaria?" The Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. And there's a tone in the way that she says, "How is it you being a Jew?" It's almost as if there's a spit in it. You being a Jew, ask drink of me, who am a woman of Samaria. The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered, verse 10, and said unto her, If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that says to you, Give me to drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water. What an awesome answer. Awesome answer. The woman said unto him, Sir, now already she's changing. She's come from Jew to Sir. Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then have you that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinks of the water I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Isn't that wonderful? We need never thirst. The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said to her, Go call your husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, You have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and he who you're now with is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. So God revealed that to Jesus, word of knowledge. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive you are a prophet. So she's gone from contempt to Sir, to prophet, and let's see where she ends up. Verse 20, Our fathers worship in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship. Salvation is of the Jews. But the hour comes and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We always remember that. God is like a father, but he is spirit. He is spirit. He created the whole world. He created us. He is declared by Jesus Christ, who always did his Father's will. But to worship God, we worship in spirit and in truth. We pray in the spirit. We speak in tongues. Verse 25, The woman said unto him, I know that the Messiah is coming, who's called Christ. When he has come, he'll tell us everything. Verse 26, What a woman. Jesus said unto her, I that am speaking to you am him. Whoa! So see that beautiful turn, how Jesus turned her heart from Jew to Sir to prophet to Messiah. Full 180 degree turn from the presence of Jesus Christ. Absolutely beautiful. Look at John 21. John 21, and we'll pick it up in verse 15. Again, a little incident with Jesus and Peter. Jesus in his resurrected form here. Verse 15, Jesus has just made the disciples a breakfast on the beach. Isn't that nice? The lads just brought the fish in, cooked on the fire. And when they dined, verse 15, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than these? He's looking at the fish. So he said to Peter, do you love me more than these fish? A good question to ask, because back in verse 3, it says that Peter went back to his old profession of fishing. And I think when you look at Peter, he denied Christ. He tried to push back the centurion who was going to arrest Christ. He attacked him with a sword. He ducked. He cut off his ear. Jesus healed him. Remember that, the healing of Malchus? He denied him, cursed and swore when the cock crew. A lot was happening in his heart. And it says in 21 verse 3, Simon Peter said to them, "I go fishing." Having said he'd left the fishing business back in Mark 1:18, he was saying, "I'm done with this. I just don't get it." He went fishing. Jesus appeared, said, "Have you caught anything?" He said, "No, because you catch nothing when you turn your back on Jesus." And then Jesus gave them direction. He followed. He was so blessed. So here he is with Peter. "Do you love me more than these?" Peter said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." Verse 16, he said to him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said unto him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my sheep." Verse 17, he said unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said unto him, "Feed my sheep." We ask ourselves, why did he ask three times? See, Peter thought he was in a certain place in his life. And he answered. And by asking again, he answered again, but he got to think about the position of his heart. And in the same way, we would all say, "Jesus is Lord of my life. I love him with all my heart." But we need to think about that in a deep way. Is he really Lord? Am I letting him be Lord? See, Jesus is turning heart, and he wants to turn our heart to him. We don't want to be like the disciples who had an agenda with redeeming Israel, and Jesus could just fit in their agenda just fine. We want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And that takes keeping our hearts really humble and fluid, ready to change, ready to grow, ready to do things in a different way, because he is Lord. Let's look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. 1 John. And this verse is very humbling. This verse is very humbling. You know, if somebody was to say to me, you know, "Are you walking in Christ Jesus?" We know new birth puts Christ in you, Christ in you. We know that's a concrete, great spiritual reality. But me in Christ Jesus, am I walking in the light? Am I following him? I'd say yes. But this verse, chapter 2, verse 6 says, "He that says he abides in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walks." So if I say I'm walking in Christ Jesus, then I'll be walking with Jesus Christ, and I'll be manifesting the fruit that Jesus Christ manifested. So that really humbles me. So I go back to his word and his spirit to get deeper and deeper and deeper, so I can allow Christ to be formed in me. Like it says in Galatians 2:20, Paul said, "Christ lives in me." I want that to come out greater in my life. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And in verse 12, now this was written to the Philippian believers who were born again. Philippians 2, verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Fear and trembling is a phrase meaning with great respect. And the working out your salvation, you could say there's three sorts of salvation. Three sorts of salvation. Romans 10:9, when you were walking along as a body and soul person and you accepted Jesus Christ, believing God raised him from the dead, you got salvation, didn't you? You got salvation. That's the first one. This one says, work out your own salvation, for it's God who works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So here I am, born again. Here's a Bible for me, Holy Spirit. Well, how am I going to work that out? How am I going to put that together? What does that mean? That's the wholeness I need to work out. With fear and trembling is recognizing that, verse 13, God Almighty works within me. This is no small thing. This is not joining a club or learning an activity. This is life. What does this wholeness mean to me? You know, I'm a babe, maybe just born again. Now I've got to work out this salvation. That would be the second salvation. The third one would be the salvation wholeness we receive when Christ comes back, which will be a different kind of wholeness. Then we'll receive a new body. Everything will be very different. But this one here, God is working within you. This is active present tense. As I speak, God is working within you. As I'm sharing the word and you've got Holy Spirit, he is speaking to you about what you're hearing. Every time the Bible's open, God is speaking to you specifically. That's why if you taught 10 people a fellowship and asked them afterwards what was taught, they'd probably come up with different things. Because Holy Spirit's igniting different things to different people. Because we're all at different places in our life. It's so wonderful. It's so personal. But God is working within us through Holy Spirit. Jesus ascended so that the gift would come. And now it's up to us to let Jesus turn our hearts. The Christ in us, the Holy Spirit, is at work to will and to do. The question is, are we letting him work or are we mowing him down with our own plans? You know, I can have a day, you know, when I'm back home and I just schedule it. And I shouldn't do that. I'm going to get things done. But what is God saying? Where is he saying to go? Who am I to speak to? Am I ready for God to send to me? Because Jesus said, the harvest is plenteous. If people don't believe God, they start to think, well, the harvest isn't really plenteous. Not many people around me are interested in the gospel. Not true. The harvest is plenteous. There's people just really sitting in darkness with no light. And when we love him and know the truth, we want to show the love of Jesus to people and give them time to turn and acknowledge the Christ in our life. I think last night at the dance, there was such a blast of the love of God. It's just wonder. It's just multiplied up. You know, it's just His presence and the love of God. We all forget what lovely folks we all are when we walk in the renewed mind and we show interest in others. We listen to people. You know, I sat for an hour with Steve, and afterwards he said, thank you for letting me vent, he said. You know, and I just quietly, I looked at him, I spoke in tongues, just believing for Holy Spirit to bless him, meet his needs. These are the moments that we want. Jesus is turning us, but the question is, are we letting him? God is calling us to new people, new places, new ways. We can't do same old, same old. We have to be ready for the new song. Jesus is truly singing a new song with his love, with his kindness, with his tenderness. And we'll just close out with Acts 16. I always think it's special when we look at the book of Acts because of the name of the fellowship. Acts Now Fellowship. And that's surely what we want. And this incident is beautiful. It's so simple. Paul here and Timothy, they're moving the word. I think there were other believers there. But it shows us Holy Spirit was alive and speaking and directing, the same as he does with us. Verse 6. Now, when Acts 16:6, when they'd gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. So they thought it was a good idea. Let's go preach the word in Asia. Isn't that a good idea? Preaching the word's great. Holy Spirit said no. Verse 7. Then they were come to Mysia. They essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. So they were going to go to Bithynia. Holy Spirit said no. They were passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, a vision appeared to Paul in the night, verse 9. There stood a man of Macedonia, prayed, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after he'd seen the vision, they went to Macedonia. And a woman and her household believed the word. Again, woman, contra culture, but this is what God wanted. You know, I was looking at the account of the woman taken in adultery, thrown in front of Jesus. And he just drew in the sand. Then he stood up and said, let him that's without sin cast the first stone. Why didn't he just say what he first thought? Why did he just lip it and say, if anyone had the right to confidently believe he was right with God, it was Jesus. He was seeking that right thing to say. And that's Jesus. He waited and then he spoke. The only thing, I'll leave you with this thought, the only thing Jesus cared about was doing the Father's will. That was all. He was not a people pleaser. He spoke, he lived, he prayed for hours. If anybody should have been exempt from the need to pray, it should have been Jesus. He was the Son of God. answers.
And he prayed and prayed and prayed. Why would I ever think I don't need to pray?
Mm-hmm.
Or I've kind of cornered it in prayer? Perhaps I need to get deeper into prayer, recognizing that where two or three are gathered together, Jesus is there. Holy Spirit is alive and he's speaking. Jesus spent much time in prayer and then he ministered. He only cared about doing the Father's will. He turned hearts and he's turning ours if we listen. Father God, we thank you for the awesome Lord and Savior we have. We thank you for beautiful Jesus and that he's present here as he promised where two or three are gathered together. We thank you, God, for your plan of salvation and redemption, and thank you for the new birth which puts Christ in us, the hope of glory. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you for this great age of grace that we can go forth holding forth the word of life and shining. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.